WPS1 Art Radio, another edition covering Performa 2007, the biennial taking place here in New York once again. And in the studios we have today, first I'm Jeannie Hopper here as the host today, and we have Gabrielle, who is a curator for Performa. At least she's curating, well, I guess we'll find out in a second, some of the shows or show that she's up to. She does have one of the artists in the studio here. Is this David?
Yes.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Who's also in the studio. And Gabrielle, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came about Performa and was approached and selected, and what Performa means to you?
Well, I was a curator at the Swiss Institute formerly, and we worked with Performa in 2005 for the first biennial, and we did a great 24-hour performance called 24-Hour Incidental. That was really, really exciting, one of the highlights of the first biennial, I think. So when I left the Swiss Institute and I started Dispatch, which is a new organization down in Chinatown, with Howie Chen, Performa got in touch with me and decided we should collaborate again on some of our upcoming programs. So I had been working with David Adamo previously on a couple of different things and knew that he had been doing these marathons every marathon Sunday. So we thought this would be...
You're referring to the New York Marathon.
Well, it always happens during a marathon Sunday in New York. Mm-hmm. And David does his own private marathon.
Ah.
And we thought it would be a nice addition to the Performa roster. So we proposed it, and it happened yesterday.
And now, David, can you give me a little description or breakdown of what Marathon is and what happened? And then maybe, Gabrielle, you can give me your impressions of how it went yesterday.
Right. Well, it's my own private marathon.
Okay.
And what I do is I start at 10 a.m. At the same time as a marathon from home usually. And then I walk to...
Where's home? Brooklyn? Manhattan?
Manhattan.
Okay.
Well, it was previously. Now I started from...
From Dispatch.
From Dispatch, which is in Chinatown.
Okay.
And then I walk to the Metropolitan Museum. And then I walk into the museum and I continue for 18 miles inside of the museum. And then I walk back home after that. And I measure the distance to be 26.2 miles.
And do people follow you, or what
goes on? No, it's actually just completely pedestrian. It's as normal as possible. I wear normal clothes and I go to the museum, and I'm just a regular visitor that's walking.
And
without stopping.
Without stopping.
Right.
So how many hours again?
It takes like eight, and it took eight and a half.
Took eight and a half. I think previously, it's the third year that he's done it. The first year was actually the weekend of 24-Hour Incidental, because Marathon Sunday always coincides with the Performa Biennial.
Yeah.
Amazing. So how long have you been doing this?
This is my third year doing it.
Your third year. Now, what prompted you to do this kind of a performance? Was it the New York Marathon?
Well, it
which
was.
Which seems to happen around the same time?
Yes, it was. I mean, like, I had really wanted to do the marathon, actually, and I wanted to run it and everything. But I started to run, and I realized I'm not that in shape and everything. And then I wanted to get in, and I realized that it's actually very hard to get into the marathon.
Oh, really?
So there's an application process and whatever. And, so then I
so
thought...
So it's not like kind of like the Triborough bike ride where you can just jump in some point?
No, it's not.
You
have to be accepted.
If you want a number. Right.
If you want a number and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
Do they, like, stop you at Central Park and say, no, I'm sorry, you can't come into the finish line, you don't have a number?
I don't know.
I think it would be hard register, like, at the Verrazano Bridge. I think it would be hard to actually get in.
Right.
You could probably run a portion of it along.
I could, like, jump over the thing and join, you know, but... I don't know. So I thought of ways that I could have the same sense of accomplishment and do it in my own way. So I chose the Met because it's one of my favorite places in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I love it for its architecture and everything. I love walking around it. So I really wanted to do the marathon inside of the Met. So.
And what is the distance in comparison to the New York Marathon?
It's the same distance.
It is.
Well, he uses a pedometer.
I use a pedometer to measure the distance. So
he sort of calculates from the starting point to the museum, and then sort of subtracts that and makes and does the main portion of it inside the museum, and then walks back.
Now, what did that end up amounting to in terms of what coverage you had in the museum? Did you cover it 3 times, 4 times? I'm just curious, it's a huge space.
It's a huge space, but, you do everything. I can't even tell you how many times you walk around forever, and looping around different areas. And what happens...
Like, how many times did you pass the pyramid? Things like that.
I think I get into rhythms where you have to find spaces where you can sort of get space to gain miles inside of there. So, yeah, obviously the more open spaces I end up going to more and spending more time there to gain miles. And then I'll go into other smaller areas when I want to have, like, more intimate, walking thing.
And what attention have you received now in the 3 years that you've been doing this, or what are you trying to achieve by doing this besides the, simulation of being in the marathon itself and distance?
Well,
and mentally, perhaps, because that's a lot of walking.
I mean, it's really difficult to walk 26 miles, and I always had done it originally just to try to challenge myself to do it, and that was enough satisfaction and everything.
I think it...
But what brings it in, Gabrielle? What brings it into the performance element? Why have you chosen
I think
this
it's
marathon to be a part of your performance presentation?
Yeah, I think it pushes the question of what a performance can be, because it is really private, and the only public, he very specifically said, I don't want people to follow me in the museum. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be photographed in the museum. So it's only the starting point and the finish line that are actually public. So it's really this sort of private performance where he and the museum, are really having this sort of dialogue, and it's sort of pushing the idea of experiencing a work of art to the limit. Like, what does it mean to visit a museum, and what does it mean to walk 18 miles inside the museum? And I think in that way, David's work is really personal, and I think it's sort of about pushing his own limits, and then at the same time it questions what a performance can be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested in definitely performances with no audience, or performance that the audience is unknowing or static or something like that.
Is there a certain category of performance that's called? Or, is it conceptual? Is it...
I don't know. What kind of category would you put that in?
Sometimes in New York, it's like you feel like you are, in a weird way, performing, especially when you have so many of these tourist buses driving by, and you're like, why are you all looking at me? And you really want to just whip the bird at some days, something like that. Or, it's interesting. Aspect.
It's the everyday and sort of, in a sort of fluxus or dada way, just accepting the fact that can be something meaningful. And it really just takes the artist to say this is art, to make it.
Well, something. Give it intention.
Yeah, give it intention and, have a curator and a space and have a festival behind it, and certainly it's definitely a work of art and it's a performance.
Did some of the security guards say you've gone by here many times? Was anyone really kind of jarred to some sort of, did you at least I'm curious, jar someone's attention, like that they actually...
I don't think so.
Inquired? That's interesting, too. Everyone can really look the other way, too.
The guards actually switch positions a lot. You can go for a while and you can come back and there'll be a different guard there, I did see a lot of the guards a lot of the times, but, I'm not doing anything that's out of the order. I'm just walking, so it's not like... They're like...
Yeah, he's not really doing anything to draw attention to himself.
Because sometimes some people actually do become more aware of something going on and others don't. Mm-hmm. And I think part of a successful performance is when actually nobody really realizes mm-hmm. it, when you end up in this kind of context.
Stealthy, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is in the walking, when did you actually get to the Met from Chinatown? How long did that take you?
It takes like an hour and 45 minutes.
And so you arrived at the Met at what time?
I think like 11:45.
And then when did you leave the Met?
I left the Met this time at 4:30, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So about almost 5 hours inside yeah. the actual Met.
Yeah.
And about roughly almost 4 hours or under that walking between Chinatown and the Met.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you done it in the previous years with inclemental weather?
No, it's always been nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's always been nice.
And now tell me some of the other performances that you've done, David. An annual event.
It is an annual event. I guess for the past couple of years, I've been involved in dance and mm-hmm. working with Maria Hasabi, who's a choreographer. So mm-hmm. I've been working with her and doing performances and rehearsing and everything with her. And then also was doing a performance with Michael Portnoy for a while. And I think that was a big lead into performance and movement and thinking about the body and thinking about these kinds of issues. And I think mm-hmm. through the dance and through rehearsals and everything, I started to develop my own way of wanting to do performances on my own. And
That's interesting, because unless you really use your body outside of like some sort of a routine, you know, in terms of like a stretch or a yoga or something that's a little more dance especially, it really is a greater connection with the brain instead of a disconnect, like being on a machine or something, or a bike, you know, a stationary bike or something. So I think that's interesting. And a lot of people really are very unaware and uncomfortable with their body. So have you become more comfortable?
I think I've become more comfortable, and I think I give it a lot more thought, or I've had a lot of connections that have happened through movement that I wouldn't have had if I was just conceptually thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really exciting to see David's practice open up as he, you know, not that anyone was particularly surprised that David was experimenting in dance, or, you know, because his work is very open. But it's really interesting to just see how that opened up his practice and just the, you know, the ways of performing. And so.
And now, David, what other pieces do you have coming up, and what else goes on in your life?
Well,
are you a visual artist, or are there other aspects of art
yes,
in your
of course.
Life?
I mean, I'm so. Doing.
All right.
Yes.
Let us know what's going on.
Well, we have.
And by the way, again, we're here with Art Radio WPS1 in the studios. I have David Adamo here, a performer who has participated with this piece entitled Marathon during Performa 2007, as we continue our coverage of this biennial taking place in New York. And also we have Gabrielle. How do I say your last name, Gabrielle?
It's Giottino.
Giottino,
yes.
Here, who curated David's performance yes. for Performa. All right, sorry. Continue, David.
Oh, what are we?
Your other background in your work as an artist. I asked other disciplines besides
right.
performance aspect.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Fill us in.
Well,
We should talk about the whole museum as a whole.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Museum is a multi-part.
Yeah, there's different performances that are going to happen inside of the Met.
Oh, okay.
That are also a part of Performa as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The next scheduled thing we have is on the 15th, which I'll be doing a day-long duet with the painting by Sargent, Madame X, mm-hmm. Which I'll be going to the museum from the time it opens. I'll look just at that one painting the whole day until it closes.
It's another test of endurance.
Another test of endurance.
Yeah. So when does the museum open again?
It opens at 9:30
a.m., and you're going to be there on the 15th until?
until 5:30.
5:30 p.m. And what floor is that on?
That
do
is
we
in,
want to give it away?
Well, I mean,
or should
you know,
they should they find you?
Madam, no, I don't want really people to find
no.
me.
Okay.
But I mean, obviously people can come and yeah. sit there. I'll be with lots of people. It's
look
a very
at you
popular
looking at
painting.
Madame X.
Yeah. A lot of people go and look at it for long periods of time, I think. Mm-hmm. So
she's
nice.
It's a very alluring painting, and certainly in a way like Museum is a kind of research project. So how far can we push the limits of a museum visit? So, you know, my own private marathon is a sort of, you know, endurance test inside walking through all of the galleries and what catches his eye and what does it mean to look through all of these galleries. And then Madame X, the piece is called Double X.
Yes.
And in a way that comes out of having visited the museum on these marathons and finding that she was really sort of the strongest.
Yeah, she sticks out.
She sticks out. She's so radiant. And so he took that to the next level. Like, okay, well, I'm going to spend the whole day with her, and it's going to be a duet. And then, you know, Museum will continue, and ultimately all of these experiences he has in the museum, I think, will probably turn into some sort of installation or...
I'm interested in now taking the information from the marathons and from Madame X to then create work out of that, like, you know,
a visual work.
Visual work, yeah, that will be somehow what my impressions of the museum, walking through it, and everything, the atmospheres, the changes of sounds and everything like that that happen as you move through it, rather than looking at one piece of work, you experience it as a whole different way of looking at art and thinking about it. And so, I think visually, it's hard to say what it would look like to do that, but be fun to experiment, you know, and
yeah.
see what.
No, and the Met is a pretty permanent collection,
mm-hmm.
and not very contemporary at all. Would you say?
I mean, well, there is one brand new Damien Hirst.
Yeah, the
shark
Damien
view.
Damien Hirst thing.
He did some laps around that one.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the reason why I say that is because a lot now there's this sort of experimentation, especially with multimedia pieces, where you know the work can be looking back at you and vice versa. So, museum to museum, in this sense, is really also focused, it seems like, on the Met itself.
Mm-hmm.
Or does it take place elsewhere?
The Met.
Okay. And now, is this what you have curated, Gabrielle, together with David? Or is this David's concept, the museum?
It's something we kind of worked on together. I mean, I like the idea of, I'm a curator that, you know, wants to support the artist with mm-hmm. their projects, so I sort of helped him frame it and write about it, but it's David's project for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to support it. I mean, it's a strange kind of project to support because it doesn't need a press release in the way that, you know, people need to show up at a certain time.
Right.
But that's kind of what Dispatch is about. Like, what does a project need?
Tell me about Dispatch.
Well, it's kind of a curatorial office, so it's we're basically two curators in a very small space, working one-on-one with artists, producing, working on writing, and forming a kind of critical context for new work. So, you know, David's is a great example. Like, what does that piece need? What does David need for this mm-hmm. particular piece? You know, he doesn't want an audience, but he wants it mm-hmm. framed. He wants it, you know,
sure.
to have a context, to have some writing about it, and just to have awareness about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's tricky because once you start making people aware, well, then they want to go see it. But
right,
it's like I'm trying
right.
to...
The
know.
Balance. Ooh. And now are the piece that just took place on Sunday and the one coming up November 15th, the event?
Yes.
The non-event.
Whether you attend.
The non-event.
The non-event. Are there any other museum pieces in the context of... Sorry, museum?
In the context.
I mean, are there others?
Well,
others?
Think that it's an ongoing project that
okay.
will happen. But
okay.
these are the two, I mean, this
Sunday. These are just the two that are specific.
For
okay.
performance.
Okay.
Certainly at Dispatch, you can come see the shoes that David wore.
Yes.
The past 3 years.
You can come and
the
see
pedometers,
shoes.
Pedometers, stopwatches, yes. Your button from yesterday, yes. Which was turquoise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All on view.
Everything is on view.
The outfit you wore?
No.
Are you still wearing it?
We can talk about
it. I'm still wearing it.
He's changed his clothes.
To change.
And now, how can people find out more about either of you, their websites or anything? I know for Performa proper, you can go to performa-arts.org.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And Dispatch is dispatchbureau.com. We have info about David and some of the projects we've collaborated on in the past. And in the future, we're going to Switzerland.
Yes.
David's going to create a new installation for a festival in Lausanne this December.
Yeah.
And, cool. People can keep up on that through Dispatch?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's Dispatch.
Bureau.
Just in case for our overseas people that are listening. Although you can double check in our archives and follow the link because we'll put that in there, by the way, for you. And I guess you can even do a search for David Adamo's name within the search engine of Art Radio WPS1.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Because I do believe there was a previous show he partook in.
Yes.
What was that called again?
I don't remember. What was it called? Was
You remember.
It was Beat It.
Both of you guys were here.
We were both here.
Did you actually participate?
I danced to Beat It.
You did too.
To the Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I remember you were actually really good at questioning Justin Lowe too.
Was I?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
I was going to make Gabrielle the host of this show.
We were here with Erin McMonagle. That was her piece. That was great.
So, and also please carry on here in enjoying our coverage of Performa 2007. This is Jeannie Hopper for Art Radio WPS1 signing off. I want to thank Gabrielle.
Thank you.
It's Gaetano.
Giottino.
I don't know why I say Giottino and David Adamo. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeannie.